in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 221 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. Where are you, Sean? What glamorous part of the world are you in?
This is really weird, this, because I'm sat in a car park in an Asda in North Wales. How's that? I've just been in a factory seeing people, and I've just come out, and we're just grabbing this time, because life has been crazy, hasn't it, over the last few weeks?
Well, yeah. It's Kfar, fun. Northumberland, Italy,
yeah,
and now Asda car park.
Yeah.
I'm still in Northumberland, but... I mean, my auntie's
I'm going up
dining room. How's tricks, man? Are you okay, though? Go?
Yeah, it's been a really good holiday. Got back at the weekend. But I'm now in that crazy phase that you haven't hit yet, which is the catch-up phase. So I've hit the ground running today, bank holiday yesterday, so we're recording this Tuesday.
Yes.
I've come back. I have an A4 sheet of two columns of things to do.
We're talking about stress management today, aren't we? So I'll come on to kind of my both of our positions and where we are in the world and phases of life shortly. But I'm back up to speed of sorts. I had a nice couple of weeks with the fam in Northumberland. I'm still up here, but I'm easing my way back into work, courtesy of my auntie's free Wi-Fi and free coffee.
Yeah.
Very grateful. Quick mention, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. If you're listening for the first time, it's not always this crazy. Sean and I do tend to try and meet face-to-face to do these recordings, but life's pretty hectic at the moment.
Yeah.
Check our website for show notes and links for this and all previous episodes. If you stick your email address in the top or the side of our website, we'll send you some free resources as well, meditation files, which after today's episode you may find useful. And also, I need to start mentioning that our book is back in stock, Live in the Present, designed by myself, written by Sean, and edited by our mutual friend, Ree, as well. So grab yourself a copy, the digital version, or a physical copy too, if you can. And enjoy. But yeah, life's all go. Sean, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very, very well. Just had a fabulous holiday in Italy, Lake Como. Very hot there, but...
Working while you were away at all, or was it a proper unplug session?
It was a proper unplug session. There were a couple of times where I did check emails, because I've got stuff going on in Qatar that I need to just check. You know. That's good.
We'll get into the episode, because we're talking about kind of stress management and healthy ways to deal with stress. So, yeah, I've been away for 2 weeks. For those that don't know, I'm a self-employed web designer. So basically, I'm a freelance designer, really. So it's all on me. Yeah. But I went for the first time in probably 7-8 years. I went 2+ weeks completely without my work email. I had my autoresponder on. Just to kind of, so people knew that I was away.
But, what was that like for you?
It was a bit weird, to be honest. Usually when I come up here to relax, I'm kind of check every few days to see how things are going. But I went proper cold turkey. There were a couple of little incidents where people had texted me to say, I need help, Ed. This has gone down. That's gone down. And so I did a tiny little bit of work. But interestingly, relating to stress, so about 2 or 3 days ago, as my holiday official was kind of coming to an end, I noticed my stress levels started to rise, because I was kind of thinking, oh, what's going to await me when I open my laptop and hit that refresh button to see what comes in. So I was getting stressed and stressed. And then last night, before I kind of started working this morning, I found some Wi-Fi, hit refresh, and lo and behold, 200 emails came in. But, you know, 9 or 10 of them needed a little bit of action here and there. Basically nothing that world changing happened. So my stress level since then, we've come right back down, and I feel like I've eased my way back in nicely. So I'm wondering whether I should have been monitoring things while I was away a bit more closely, so that I didn't have that hit of stress?
I think that it's a case of what you're identifying is that anticipation can be more stressful than the actual experience of doing something.
Yeah.
So worrying about your emails, one of the ways of stopping worrying about your emails can actually be to go and just read your emails, which isn't a very popular statement if you've got people around you saying, no, don't do that. But sometimes individually, especially when you're in that business situation or you've got other people that are reliant on you, sometimes just to check, to know, enables you to relax more. Which isn't a bad thing. That's a good thing.
No, yeah, that's it. Well, it's one of those, and it's a bit catch 22 because I could have done that, but then would I have been less involved with my family? Well, I'm, you know, full on 2 weeks of just being with the kids and the wife.
Yeah. But what happens if you're saying to yourself, no, I mustn't check my emails. I must be with my family and kids. So you're actually trying to be with your family and kids, but your mind keeps running off backwards thinking, oh, what's going on with the emails? What's going on? So you're not actually where you are. You're not actually living in the present with your family because you're worrying about other things.
Yes. Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily follow that, yes, you should not do these things. You know, it's not a law. It's about what works for you.
Yeah, exactly. And we did talk about it in last week's show, which was another... Yeah. I kind of want to apologise for the sound quality last week, which was another... I was in a house up here with the Wi-Fi. It was horrendous. And there was all sorts going on. I think you could hear my dad loading the dishwasher at one point. I should have just screamed it in to leave it 10 minutes.
He did it very well. I think... But what you and I are, because you and I are regular human beings doing regular jobs, and we're doing this podcast as well. But it's like we are examples, like every human being is, of people trying to do things and fit stuff into life and get it all done whilst maintaining all the commitments and the karmas and everything with everybody else. You know, and we both have that. We both have families and partners and stuff and business.
We do. My holidays up here, as I've mentioned before, are kind of, I do place a bit of extra pressure on because the caravan we have, we stay in, is off-grid. There's no Aleki, so kind of hopping between places where we can charge phones and all that stuff is interesting, and there's no Wi-Fi connection on the site either. There's a kind of a very poor 3G signal on my phone, and I don't get work emails to my phone anyway. I haven't done that for years. But moving on to stress more generally, there's an article you sent me which kicked off my interest in this. Healthy ways to deal with stress, Huffington Post, which I'll put in the show notes on the website.
Yeah.
But do you think we need stress to kind of push us on and get us to do things in general?
But I think what we need is dynamic tension. We need pull. We need meaning. We need interest. There has to be some reason to get out of bed in the morning. And that is fundamental to being emotionally and mentally healthy. So that some people, when they're busy, will say they're stressed, and some people will say they're stressed when they actually are stressed. So, you know, but it is a case of how do we deal with it? And what is it that we're actually doing?
Is it unavoidable stress if you're living any kind of meaningful existence?
I don't know. I have the problem with the word stress a lot of the time because, like I say, I run stress groups in organisations, and then when we go through and we say, okay, are you stressed? Everyone says, yes, I'm stressed. And then when you start to look at it, what they mean is they're busy. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do. Stress is when the resources available are less than those needed to complete the task. That's when you're really stressed because you're trying to make a quart out of a pint kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. We got International Mental Health Day on the horizon.
It's the whole of October is kind of mental health, but the 10th is like Mental Health Day, which is coming up. Yeah. So, and I'm producing some stuff for that, for different organisations, but also we'll put stuff up on the site.
Yeah.
And it's about creating ways of having an immediate, how can I get rid of the stress I've got at this moment kind of stuff.
We've kind of agreed-ish that stress to a certain extent is healthy as long as we know how to deal with it and get over the summit. But just on the front page of The Guardian this morning, I saw on Twitter. So I've read this article saying that basically the police service seems to be picking up the pieces where the health service can't cope mental health-wise. What's all that about?
Okay, so what happened in UK was in 1980s, 1990s, we closed all the big mental health institutions in favour of care in the community, and effectively care in the community failed, although no one admits that it did. It failed hugely. And the people that were affected most by that were the mental health patients, had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So in the end, those people end up being remanded in remand prisons. So you have the issue of police and the prison service have become the front line in mental health support in this country. And trying to get people into mental health beds that no longer exist is so amazingly difficult. It's crazy.
Gee whiz. We've got some issues to deal with there. What's your perspective, or what are you allowed to talk about in terms of your work in Qatar? Because basically that's like a country being built from the ground up in time.
You can't really tell anything about that at the moment because it's a social experiment with lots of people onboarding.
Yeah.
And there's no... It's the kind of thing where you're going to have to come back in a few years to look at what's actually developed there. I mean, it's a fascinating issue.
Yeah, but they're guys like you that they're pulling in to kind of obviously help get things set up before too much goes wrong. So that's a positive thing, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. And that's true across organisations generally. It's true there. It's true across organisations across Europe, where it's the awareness of mindfulness. That's what's done it, is that there's awareness that if we use mindfulness tech management to generally interpersonally with staff, colleague to colleague, that productivity goes up, sickness goes down, stress levels are reduced hugely. And that's something that in organisations that realise it, it is amazingly effective. The problem is that in Britain, the public sector is the area where it's not really... There are some areas where it's been taken up, but overall, it's the thing that we've lost. We've lost that sense of caring for each other in the drive for efficiency so that the service becomes a business rather than a service.
Yeah.
Is the issue. Yeah.
As we come out of the holiday season, or summer holiday season, as we're recording this, do you find generally that as people go back to work, get into normality, stress levels reduce because people are kind of getting back into normal, or are they rising because people are back to work and the pressure that comes with that?
You've got the magic effect where people being on holiday has lowered the levels of adrenaline, cortisol in their system, which is the holiday feeling. When they come back to work, they'll be coming back to work this week, next week, and people will be saying, I just can't get into this. I can't get going. And then give them 3 weeks, they'll be saying, I feel like I've never been away. And that's because the chemistry's come back up. So that there's an initial feeling of coming back and feel a bit euphoric. And then within a couple of weeks, the stress of what you haven't done while you've been away can start to hit you. I mean, like you said, you opened your emails. There were 200 emails in there to be dealt with. Well, most people are going to have a lot of stuff to deal with in one form or another, you know, getting kids back to school, whatever. I guess the biggest thing in my world now is September, I'm moving into divorce season.
Yeah,
there will be a high level of people who have had relationship issues from being on holiday with each other. And there's always a spike now in a relationship therapy, and there's a spike in divorces or separations as well.
So as people have spent a good week, 2 weeks solid with their loved ones, they've kind of come to the realisation that things aren't quite so rosy there, or maybe things have been bubbling for a while.
Or people turn around and say to me, I had that realisation, I just don't want to do this anymore. You know, I don't want to be treated like, spoken to, you know, whatever. And they think, now I've had enough now.
Yeah, which ultimately, you know, that can reduce stress, because if you're in a relationship which ain't working, there's no point. Well, you can work at it, obviously, but one of the options is to say it, that enough is enough. And, well, it'd be initially a stressful time, but the long tail of it will be that, your life will get better.
that one of the issues for human beings is that we are designed, it would seem, to be in groups and couples. And people that come out of relationships that say, I'm never doing that again, I'm never ever going to do that again, within a couple of years, they're back into the relationships again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk about some healthy ways that people, from your perspective, can deal with stress. And I'm guessing high up on the list is going to be good old meditation, my good friend, meditation.
Well, the issue of being in the moment is the one, isn't it? I mean, if you were on holiday and you were genuinely in the moment on holiday, so you were not worrying about your emails, then you're enjoying the holiday. If you're involved in anticipation, and anticipation really is a form of anxiety, it's about worrying about the future. That if you can do things to stop that, and actually going and looking at your emails isn't a bad thing if it takes the anxiety out of being in the present. You know, so I think those things are very, very important. And yes, the easiest way to live in the moment, as you know, because you practice it all the time, is meditation.
Yes, why? Yeah. I meditate, but without meditating. No, I don't really.
I think that the issue about being in the mindful zone doesn't just have to be meditation. We've talked about this before. It's like if your zone is running or knitting or doing something, if it's lying in the bath with the candles on and a bit of low music, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as you do what you need to do for you, to look after you and to allow yourself to live in the moment. That's what's important.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're all different, aren't we? I had a couple of pals visit us in our last weekend on the holiday. So, and we were all staying in the same big caravan. So you get to know people even better than you think you know them when you're living, you know, with each other, and you can hear their every move and through the thin walls. So, yeah, so a good pal of mine was up, and he had some little quirks that I didn't know about in terms of how he is kind of daily routine in terms of just getting by, eating, and little habits. So meditation wasn't one of them.
It's as long as the things, the rituals that he plays out, have that effect for him. They're not kind of obsessive compulsions, but more the ordered focusing of attention. That's good.
Yeah. So obviously you're a big meditator, but any other kind of things you build into your life to deal with
this? Well, one of the things in the article that we'll put up here is cooking.
I was just going to say on this. Yeah, I saw that on the list just then.
Well, cooking for me, I love cooking. And hopefully as we speak, the builders will be putting the pizza oven stand in so that later this week the pizza oven will appear in the garden. So I can start cooking real pizzas for people, because I just love all that kind of stuff.
Cooking's a big one. Yeah, definitely. Agreed. Yeah, I was doing plenty of that over the weekend. Well, I was. Bethan had told my pals about how I'm the pasta master, apparently.
So they
demanded that I cook them some pasta over the weekend. I had to do it in a tiny little caravan with a few extra pans and stuff, but managed to churn out a pretty good bowl of pasta for everyone.
So did you prove yourself to be the pasta master?
I think everyone was pretty happy in the end, yeah.
That's good.
Used plenty of cream, plenty of salt, garlic. It's not rocket science, is it?
that's the next thing on this list is, if you make other people feel happy, it makes you feel happy, so that reduces your stress. Now, one of the ways of doing that I do is I cook people food. Yeah, because cooking the food makes them feel good. It makes me feel good doing it.
Yeah, making other people happy is an interesting one. On the whole, I had a couple of little incidents where I was getting worried, stressed, I guess is a word you could use, about people that had approached me and asked if I was from the area and asked for advice about certain things. So there's this one thing where we were heading out on our way down to a beach, quite a remote beach, and there was an elderly couple that had parked up and asked how far it was down to the beach just to see if you can make it. And initially I just said, yeah, you'll be fine. It's, you know, quarter of a mile over those dunes. And I kind of strolled off with the rucksacks and stuff for the beach. And then on my way down, I was thinking, oh, hang on, there's a beach just up the road. Yeah, they hop back in the car, which is more accessible. Yeah. It's more beautiful, actually, and it's got one of the best views in all of Northumberland as you approach it. I was stressing, like, oh, do you think I should? And I said to Bethan, do you think I should go back and tell them? And I was like, oh. In the end, I just dropped my bags and ran back because they were kind of struggling away yeah. down the road. So I ran back yeah. and told them. And they hadn't got too far from the car. And they were really grateful. And I was stressing about whether they were going to have a nice little day. I don't know. They've got in the car and I saw them drive up the hill. Hopefully they made it to the better beach. But that alleviated my stress by helping these guys, you know.
We had a funny thing in Italy because Ray has Italian ancestry anyway, so she can look Italian. Yeah. But some English people were coming up and asking her directions because they thought she was a local. That was good.
Did you get the swing yeah. the swing of it in Italy, a bit of the lingo and all that, and getting there?
I find that the biggest problem when you're an English speaker is that other people want to speak English.
Mm.
So the only people that are quite strict about that are some of the French, but most other people want to speak English, so they use you to practice on. Yeah.
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 But were you practicing your Italian?
That's yeah, I do bits. It gets really confusing when you're coming across different countries, because as you come across Italy, then Switzerland, and then you come across France into England, and it's you have to keep questioning which country you're in before you say thank you, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I had the experience this morning where I was looking at the wrong indicator on my dashboard, so I was driving kilometres rather than miles, so I was going for quite slow. And then I came to a roundabout and then he went round it the wrong way. Yeah. One of those, yeah. That's right. Let's get getting your head back into it.
Go on. You were going to say something then.
I was going to say, next thing on our list here is, and it's interesting, this article, there's a van driver that says I carry a bag. And when he comes home, he puts the bag down, but he consciously grabs a ball of air and all the problems of the day and stuffs them in the bag and shuts the bag off and leaves it.
I've just read that one, yeah. Blimey, okay.
But to me, that's fascinating in two ways. One is that Shinto, as a philosophy, has this boxing idea where you can't deal with stuff today, so you put it in a box, and then you open the box on the day that you can deal with it, and so you put it away. But it's also like the recording that we have in the Mindfulness Toolkit, which is the evening review. So end of the day, go back through the day and dump the stuff that you don't want and just bag the stuff you do want and deal with it when you can, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just mindfully being conscious of your day and your experience.
For sure. Yeah, and that's a funny one, that. And then we come on to, which I don't think we need to talk too much about. In fact, we should worry the whole podcast episode on the benefits of physical exercise and getting your arms and legs moving a bit more.
Yeah, we did some good walking while we were away, which is good. I was doubling my step count.
All those beautiful hills you see on the shores of the Italian lakes, can you get up those hills quite easily? Pathways and all that?
Yeah, around Como, there's a thing called the Greenway, which is a walk, which is kind of halfway up the mountain. So you can walk literally right the way along the side of the lake and just drop down into the towns that you want.
Nice.
You know, or you can go the other way. You go to the top of the mountain, which I haven't done yet. It's a 2.5 hour walk upwards to the mountain, and they have a lot of goats up there, and there's a goat's cheese place up there, which is supposed to be the best one in the world, and I love goat's cheese, but I haven't managed to get there yet, but I will. I got as far as picking fresh figs off of the trees as we were going along, and they were amazing.
Oh, we've been doing plenty of blackberry picking up on our home. Every time a little lad sees one when he's on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to go for it, so I've been just picking blackberries endlessly, which is pretty good fun. And to be fair, your kids are good for getting you out and about, because you can get cabin fever in a little caravan, so it's just as soon as they're awake, it's like, let's get dressed and let's get out. But also, if you haven't got kids or you don't want them, I wouldn't blame you, but having a pet or a dog is a good way to force yourself to get out and about, isn't it, and get some exercise. Yeah.
And I suppose that in a way, because a child is demanding of your attention and needs things, it's the same as having a dog in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it does make you do stuff, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you want to mention? Have you got a resource you want to you want to stick on the end of this?
The resource that I'm putting up for this episode is what I'm working on at this moment. I'll be doing it the rest of the day. And it's the kind of SOS toolkit, which is what to do when you're stressed. And what it is, it's a graduated set of exercises that start off with 7-11 breathing and work their way through to the idea of being able to just relax and let go. Yeah.
So is this a toolkit that you're preparing for the coming weeks, or I'm just trying to...
It'll be up over the next 2 weeks. So yeah. We'll have it up on our site.
Yeah, we'll send out... Go on, yeah. Sorry.
No, go on.
Yeah, we're saying we'll send out an email once yeah. this is ready, because it sounds like it could be a bigger one. So yeah. If you're not on our email list, go to livingthepresent.co.uk, put yeah. your email in the top. You'll get your free resources that Sean's already mentioned, and you'll also get alerts for podcasts and special little bits and bobs that we produce, because we've been saying it for a while, but we're going to start getting some stuff moving, aren't we, and get some new things out there to the world.
We are. We're going to change the world.
We are. One podcast at a time. But I've mentioned fidget spinners as my resource, because I've got one in my office.
All right. Do you actually use it?
We're three of us in the office, and we all have our own fidget spinner. So it's funny, you're just watching them. The other guys, every now and again, you'll just see them out taking a moment, and they'll just subconsciously reach for that spinner and just start spinning. And on holiday, we had one with us. My lads just have them around. And her grandma said, "Oh, is this one of those fidget spinners?" And she just started spinning away. And at first, she was a bit skeptical, but then 10 minutes later, she still had it, and she was still spinning away. It's quite kind of weirdly therapeutic.
I'll have to get one and try.
You must.
they say that in some of the countries, they're giving out health warnings if you buy cheap ones, because apparently kids get burns and things from them.
Yeah, I'd read that actually. And you can pop, sometimes you can pop the bits of metal out the outside of them that gives it the right balance. So health warning, yeah, be careful. But
yeah,
don't be too careful. You can't be too careful in life, can you? A little bit, yeah.
You've got to have some fun.
Right, okay, Sean. The next podcast we do, hopefully, we'll be face to face.
To face, yeah. I've forgotten what you look like.
I know, innit? But everyone out there in the world, livingthepresent.co.uk. Take care. Hopefully, this has been of some use. Do drop us an email if there's anything you would like us to discuss in the future. Yeah.
And if anybody's got any ideas about Mental Health Month, that would be interesting to hear those as well.
Yeah, sure. Drop us a line on social media or via the website. Sean, take it easy.
Okay, you take care, Ed.
See you guys.
Have a good one. You too.
Bye.
Bye.